You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio, where we talk about the medical benefits of cannabis and hear from people who have used cannabis to improve their health or the health of a loved one. I'm Ian Jessup, and Corey Yelland is away for the next few days. Before we get to our guest, I'd just like to ask you a question. How would you like to make a difference in someone's life? I mean a real difference. Corey Yelland has faithfully been doing that every single day for the last 4 years after she cleared herself of cancer using cannabis oil. She knew the health recovery that happened to her can happen to others as well. So, on her own, she went online and through Facebook started to share it with the rest of the world. And people responded in droves, seeking help in finding out about cannabis oil and using it to improve their health or the health of a loved one. Now, Corey has unselfishly changed the lives of thousands of people. There's no doubt about that. She's done it without fanfare, without payment, and quite frankly, from my perspective, without the recognition she deserves. But Corey can't do it all on her own. She needs your help. At Cannabis Health Radio, we need your help to take the work that Corey has done, that she started, and take it to a much larger audience around the world. And we want you to be part of what we're doing. You too can make a difference in the life of someone, just like Corey has done over and over and over again. At Cannabis Health Radio, Corey and I want you to become part of a growing global community that reaches out to help others. All it takes is a very minor financial commitment on your part, and I mean minor. In fact, you can do it for as little as the price of a cup of coffee a month. That's right. For as little as $3 a month, you can help Cannabis Health Radio. We'd like to take this show live for a couple of hours, at least once a week, taking calls from people all over the world, people who need help and want information. But we can't do that without your help. Our equipment just won't allow us to do it. That's why we need your help to, quote, kick it up a notch, which is what we want to do. You can make a monthly donation through Patreon, which is on our website, or if you want to make a one-time donation only to help us out, you can do that as well through PayPal. Both options can be accessed at CannabisHealthRadio.com. With your donation, you can make a difference in someone's life. Do it today. The cancer societies in the United States and Canada estimate that nearly 150,000 people in our two countries are diagnosed with colon cancer each year. Nearly 60,000 people will die from it. Today we're chatting with Catherine LaTrace of Calgary, Alberta, who had colon cancer, but she used cannabis oil and today is cancer-free. Catherine, good to talk to you again.
Yes, you too, Ian. Thanks.
Now, what symptoms were you experiencing that prompted you to go to the doctor?
Well, symptoms, pain mostly, but at the beginning, indigestion and sometimes after I would eat, it would be quite painful. But as the tumors got bigger, it just more pain to the point where the colon was fairly closed, was closed off.
Could you actually feel the tumors inside you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Once it got to that point, no two ways. You could definitely know that something was severely wrong.
Were you having these intestinal issues for very long?
I would say over my lifetime, I probably had had several intestinal issues, symptoms like IBS and irritable bowel syndrome. So I think it was probably growing for many years. And as a result of eating incorrectly and all those things, the surgeon actually told us that he thought that the tumor had been growing for 3 years before it was removed.
And what was the doctor's diagnosis?
November 2011, it was diagnosed as, that's where Ed is
Catherine's husband.
Yes, thank you. Here, I'm going to give you the phone to Ed.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Ed. I just asked Catherine, when she went to the doctor, what was his diagnosis?
They ran around on it for over a year and never found any issue. She kept going back to the GP, and they would do ultrasound, or they'd do a belly check or an abdomen, but they never got as high as the colon. And that was disturbing me, and I kept wanting, I said, sweetie, let's go to hospital. And she's not a hospital kind of gal, so it was 5 years this weekend, on the long weekend. And she upset me to the point I'd left for a while that day, had gone for a drive out of Calgary. And when I came back, she, in the middle of the night, she said, I've got to go to the hospital. And so we called an ambulance and got her in there. And, of course, under ER, they're looking at everything. And when they scanned and did a total body scan, that's when they found that the colon, it basically, when I looked at the pictures of the colonoscopy the next day, it looked like a sausage casing, just the end of a sausage casing had been twisted right off. The cancer had gone right around the center of the colon and then just squeezed it shut. So her body became just totally septic. She was within an hour or so of death at that point.
My goodness. What did the doctors decide to do?
Well, first thing they wanted to do was colonoscopy, of course. Once they did that, the surgeons came in the next day, and I said that I'd like to see the pictures if I could. It's one thing that I'm continually being, not criticized, but my wife wants to know why I want to know. And I asked the doctors for the paperwork, the blood work, the chemo sheet, everything. And in this particular case, I said, can I see the pictures of the colonoscopy? And that's how we come about seeing what was going on. And as I say, it literally, you could just see the spiral of the twist, and it was completely blocked. So they said, we've got to go in, we've got to see what's going on. So they ended up removing half of the colon. They said that it had impacted even the smaller colon. He said it was so flat, he literally spent time fluffing the inlet organs to the colon to try to get them back functioning. And when he described everything as to what went on in surgery, he got out the door and he came back in and he says, oh, by the way, he says, we didn't think you needed your appendix. We were there, so we took them out too. And that was first surgery.
She was within an hour of death because of the fact that she couldn't eliminate anything. The poison.
Correct. Her body was totally toxic.
Whoa, that must have been scary.
Well, compared to some of the other things that we've seen go on in the last 5 years, it was just one of many.
So, Ed, what was the next step in this process?
Next step after that surgery and the healing would have, here, I'll pass it back to Catherine.
Hello, Ian.
Hi, Catherine. I asked Ed, what was the next step after your diagnosis by the doctors?
Well, the next step would be that after surgery and after recuperation, I went back to work. The usual 6 weeks of recuperation from a operation like that, I guess, or 2 months. Back to work, glad to be back at work, really glad to be back at work, and grateful that I got this looked after. And within 6 months, I could feel some discomfort in my stomach, and that's when I was told it was back. And now that's when I had a full hysterectomy, because it was now in that area.
It was starting to spread.
Yeah, it had metastasized to that area of my body.
Yeah.
So I had a full hysterectomy then.
Did they suggest chemo and radiation?
Yes, they did. At that point, that's when the doctor, the oncologist, said, as soon as you recuperate from this hysterectomy, you are going to start chemo. And he wanted me to take 8 rounds of it, which I didn't really want to do. I even had one of the female oncologists asking, or she I remember kind of off to the side and said to me, if you only want to do 4 rounds of this chemo, just do 4. And I found that kind of odd, and I still think about it to this day.
Yeah, I wonder why she said that to you.
Me too. I think now, Ian, that maybe she, my only guess would be she knew what it would do to me.
So did you undergo chemo at all?
Yes, I did. I did end up doing the whole 8 treatments, and I did them with the help of Yunzi mushrooms, which is a supplement that my husband found. We found that through Chinese medicine in our town here, and that helped me to sustain the effects of the chemo. It's grown apparently just for chemo and radiation patients.
Helped you with the nausea and vomiting and things like that?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I had none of that. Actually, at the time that I was diagnosed, I failed to mention that my sister was also battling cancer at the time. She had breast cancer and has since passed.
What was the name of that mushroom?
Yunzi. Y-U-N-Z-H-I. Amazing. Simply gobsmacked amazing. No one even knew I was going through chemo.
Was it in a liquid form, or was it the actual mushroom itself?
It is in a powder form,
okay.
Actually. It's expensive. Of course, it's not covered by any health insurance because of the naturalness of it. And we just put our dollars together and said, how much is your health worth?
You did a round of chemo, and you used the mushroom, Yunzi mushroom, to help you with, mm-hmm. with the nausea and vomiting. Now, mm-hmm. what happened next?
That would be in I finished the chemo in February of 2013. I was okay for a while. I didn't go back to work. I was recuperating from all the chemo, but feeling much better. And then in the year 2014, at some point, towards the end of 2013, I started to feel some discomfort in my lung area. And I was told that, okay, from the very first CT scan we ever did, they could see a spot on my lung, and they were referring back to that and saying, now we're going to do that's growing, and we're going to have to do surgery for that.
So the cancer was starting to spread throughout your body. When did you discover cannabis oil?
We discovered that in March of this year, 2016. My goodness, it's only been not even a whole year since I've been on it, but yeah, March.
And how much oil were you taking, Catherine?
To begin with, just the standard protocol, which is very small to begin with, work your way up. At the point where I needed it the most, it was definitely a gram a day.
Was it difficult to get the oil in Alberta?
No. Thankfully, it was not, because we have a dispensary here that I was sent to the very day I got my prescription. From a doctor here, and they knew I was in dire straits. I went to the dispensary that day, me and my husband, and been on the road to recovery ever since.
What did the doctors in Alberta say about you using cannabis oil? Were they supportive or against?
Oh, definitely against. Definitely against. Oh my goodness, I wouldn't even tell. I had to no. Would never even discuss it with the first oncologist. I had to fire him. We had to fire him last year when he missed more cancer on another CT scan that I had done in September, and not good.
So you started taking cannabis oil in March of this year. You started out with a little bit, and you started working your way up. How soon after taking the oil did you notice that it was helping you?
Oh, I would say within 2 or 3 days, Ian. It's that fast. It's that immediate. It's that amazing. You're just beyond. I had no reason. I have never taken another pharmaceutical pill since I've taken cannabis, ever, for anything.
What did it do for you? I mean, you said it helped within 24, 48 hours. Mm. How did you feel?
Oh, I can't get the smile off my face as we talk. I felt relief. I felt hope. I felt the pain was gone. I was happy. I felt relief.
I sense in your description that your body was probably saying, thank you very much for what you're doing.
Oh my
because
God,
I
yeah.
feel a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. The body was, if it could have talked, it would have been screaming yes.
Yes.
Huge yes. Big yes.
Catherine, in the people that I interview over the last several weeks, when I ask them how soon they notice the effects of cannabis oil, it's always within 12, 24, 48 hours. Right away, they notice the difference.
Yeah. Of course. How can you not? It's just, it permeates every part. Oh, I can remember now, Ian. Just, I'm getting too excited. It does excite me, this whole subject. But I remember saying to my husband that I could feel the medicine, kind of like it felt like a little Pac-Man, like eating up. It's sort. I said to him, "It's every day is different." He would come home from work, and I would say, "I could feel it. It's like it goes exactly to where it's needed in your body." And at that point, I was inoperable in March of last year. Stage four. You're gone. Goodbye. Go home. And to think that it was like eating up all the tumors in my back, on my kidneys, all in my stomach area, just like eating it. That's what it felt like sometimes.
It's interesting you mention that because I did an interview today with a gentleman that lives in the Vancouver area. And his daughter was 16 at the time and had a brain tumor. And she started on cannabis oil. And she said she could feel a fizzing in that area of her head.
Yeah.
It was almost like something is happening. It's doing something to the cancer.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Big clap in my head. Yeah, for sure. That's exactly, you feel physically the effects of it. It's remarkable. It's beyond remarkable.
Catherine, I thought of you the other day when I saw this sign that said, "The road to health is paved with good intestines."
Oh my goodness, that's a good one, Ian.
That's very true, isn't it?
The road to good health is paved with good intestines.
The road to health is paved with good intestines. That's right.
Well, it's true. Yes. My son told me for years, "Mommy, you are what you eat," and I'm saying to him, just so many bad choices you make with your food. And
have you changed your eating habits over the last several months?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Most definitely. It's also, too, my daughter-in-law's here right now, and I'm just thinking to myself that she's got fresh raspberries on the table and snacking on those. And your body just tells you what it needs. And now the medicine makes you smarter, too. It sort of takes care of everything. It's like it's telling me now, you know, that bread is not so good for you. It's almost like you don't even have to think so hard anymore to make the right choice. It sort of does it for you.
Have you gone back to your doctor for a follow-up?
I did, yes. I went to see, I have a new oncologist because I fired the other guy. I have a lady now who I really do like a lot. She was more supportive for the cannabis, for sure. Didn't kick me out of her office for saying it. And I'm hesitant to, I'm a bit, to be honest with you, I'm pissed off that for their treatment. And I know that bringing awareness to this is more important, but at the same time, I have a bit of revenge in my heart.
Well, they've taken out some body parts of yours, haven't they?
Yeah. It's pretty traumatic. You end up with some people, I don't know if everybody's like me, but me and my husband, I think we both suffer at some point with some form of PTSD from this.
Oh, it's understandable, yeah. How has your family reacted to you taking cannabis oil, other members of your family?
Very well, actually. I was brought up in a home where my father was very much into the natural way of things, so I brought up my children that way. And yeah, they're not as fully understanding of it as probably everybody else isn't, too, because they've never experienced needing the medicine like I have. But as far as support goes, 100%.
The reason I asked that question is because in the email you sent us, you said, "My hope is that if my family listens to the podcast, they will believe me when I say the cancer has been healed."
Yeah.
And I sense from that maybe there are some members of your family that don't believe it.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. You're right about that, Ian. Now that you say it, I believe that they would like to, for their mom to go and get a CT scan or get something that's conclusive that says it is eradicated out of your body. And I'm saying to my children that look at me. I don't want to go through any more testing, to be honest with you, Ian. It's not necessary in my mind.
You know, one of the things that has happened to most people alive in the world today is that we've all been brainwashed to think that cannabis and marijuana is a poison, it's a drug, we'll all go crazy if we take it. And yet there seems to be a growing consensus, even amongst some members of the medical profession, that, you know what, maybe we should look at this. Maybe it is helping people. It's getting people off of these long lists of pharmaceutical drugs that they're on. And I think, what was your attitude about cannabis before you started taking it?
Good question. I have an open mind, and because of the background and the way I grew up, and no problem. I never smoked it. I didn't care if other people smoked it. I certainly wanted to be around people that were medicated with that as opposed to alcohol. But I didn't know what it would do for me as far as its healing abilities for cancer.
Catherine, do you have conversations with others about cannabis who have colon cancer?
Yes, through the Cannabis Oil Success Stories website on Facebook, through the Corey Yellen, the one that I can't remember, Ian, what that is, but
Phoenix Tears.
Yes, correct. Sorry, Phoenix Tears. The one with the Donovan Vizina was on.
Mm-hmm. That was a remarkable story, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he had leukemia, and like you, he was within hours of death before getting to the hospital.
When I knew I was going to do this, Ian, I did start to think back about things. You have to, right? Because how was you? You're going to talk about it. And just before you called, I had found a pamphlet with my cyto, or the name cryo reductive surgery. And I was reading about how long the surgery would have taken if I'd have had it. I was reading about what it would have entailed. And it reminded me a little bit of Donovan, too. Yeah, it's just how close you came to death.
Yeah, I suspect you would be walking around with a colostomy bag right now if you'd done conventional treatment. Yeah,
the surgeon, that's what the oncologist said, sorry to interrupt again, but that last year was when it became inoperable, and that's what I was told is, if we can even do this, the only way I was able to have, if I could have had the surgery, I would have had to take a bunch of chemo first, or radiation first to shrink the tumor small enough so that they could do surgery. Then when I didn't want to do the surgery or the radiation and the chemo, he said, I said, what can I expect? My husband and I both asked, what can we expect now? And he said, it will continue to grow and it will eventually cut off the nerve in your leg. You'll probably lose control of your right leg. It was horrendous. Yeah, I would have been in dire straits.
It's fascinating to talk to you, Catherine, and I'm so pleased that things have worked out. And does Ed take cannabis oil as well?
No, unfortunately, he cannot because of his job. But he's soon to retire, so I'm hoping he will. He's saying he would like to take the CBD that I take because it has the non-psychoactive effect and would help with his other health issues. So I'm hoping, I know he will when he needs to, because he's seen what it's done for me.
You know, I take a CBD capsule, and I take two a day, one in the morning and one at night, and I find it's fantastic. There's a very, very small amount of THC in it. It doesn't bother you at all. It's minimal.
Really?
Yeah. But
Ian, I take 20 milligrams in the morning. Can I ask you how much you take in the morning and in the evening?
Oh, mine is only 3.5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's only it has 3.5 milligrams of CBD and 3 milligrams of THC. But
I get it.
Yeah, so it's very, very, very small. But, you know, I notice a difference. I just feel better.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell people how you feel. you just feel better, right?
I know. I am just, my daughter-in-law came in today. It's been a while since I've seen her, and I'm just grabbing her and hugging her. You love life.
Yeah,
again.
You do, absolutely. Just remember, the road to health is paved with good intestines.
Oh, my goodness. There's a million euphemisms, aren't there? Oh, my goodness. Too funny. Yeah, it is.
Well, you're a great success story, Catherine.
Thank you.
You would be, quite frankly, I think you'd be in rough shape now if you'd gone the conventional route, which consisted of chemo, radiation, surgery. And you wouldn't be as vital as you are today. That's great to hear.
No doubt in my mind, Ian. No doubt in my mind. I was very sad to lose my sister, and I thought she's rooting for me so big up there wherever she's always with me. And she's there saying, Catherine, this is not your time. Miss you, I love you, but we'll see each other when you're 90. Not now.
Oh, if you keep taking cannabis oil, you live beyond 90.
I will live. We're going to be 150, Ian.
That's right. Good for us.
We'll be the oldest. Yeah, exactly. Good for us. Great for us. Everybody is going to be coming to ask us why. And I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of myself for doing this and so proud of my husband for researching and supporting me through all these years of this.
Well, he obviously loves you like crazy, so go with
it. He does. Yeah, we do.
Catherine, fabulous to talk to you. Appreciate your story and appreciate you sharing the story. So others.
Oh, thanks, Ian.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you too, Ian. Bye-bye.
What a wonderful lady, Catherine Latrace of Calgary, Alberta. Well, that's it for another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. Appreciate you listening wherever you are in the world. We'll be back again next week.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.